Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Have you turned your man cave into your home office? Well, here's your chance to upgrade your work-at-home experience with an Amazon Echo. We'll give you three chances a day through Thursday to win a smart speaker for your home office. To enter, it's so easy. Email us a photo of your work-from-home setup at 98.7 FM at ESPN.com with the subject line Echo and include your name and phone number. Again, that's 98.7 FM. At ESPN.com, then just tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. It's just that simple. All right, let's bring him in, our first guest of the day, the wonderful Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
We are keeping our head above water. We're doing as well as anybody, in this crazy country can be doing right now.
Yeah, that's about right. And hopefully we'll be better for it long term. But, boy, it's been a tough couple months here.
It has been a brutal couple of months. Let's get to the NFL to kind of distract us for a couple minutes. And, you know, we all on this show were hopeful and I think believed that this 4th and 15 was going to pass and would be, you know, an alternative to the onside kick. Kind of a multi-part question. Are you surprised it didn't? And why do you think it didn't? Just teams need time to process change? Is that the reason?
Yeah, I was candidly disappointed as well. I was in shock that it didn't pass. I was on the general manager advisory committee for years, guys, and it's just our league, for better or for worse, is reticent to change, and things just don't happen overnight. I think it's a really good rule because, look, at the end of the day, wouldn't we want Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold to be deciding games and not a kicker who has a 10% chance to ricochet the ball off of somebody else? So I think from a fan perspective, from just an overall excitement perspective, it was the right rule, and hopefully maybe it'll pass next year.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, is it as simple as that? Is that they're just hesitant to have any change? I mean, it seems like the perfect opportunity with what's going on in sports. Like, if there was a time to try some, you know, some different things, that you'd have, you know, fans be into it just because they're dying to see live sports.
Yeah, Rick, I absolutely think that way. You know, they're just very slow to change, you know, just in terms of, look, going back years with instant replay, it was very compartmentalized, and then it slowly evolved into being more pervasive, the expansion of the playoffs. Obviously, that's come along with the new collective bargaining agreement. And hopefully in a year we'll be talking about, you know, this exciting new rule because, again, I think what we're seeing, guys, is when there's a two-score difference at the end of the game, it's virtually impossible for that team to come back who's down, even if they score once. And I think to the extent that we want to see exciting finishes, this is just another mechanism to have that happen.
Mr. T, yesterday a story leaked out about Henry Ruggs injuring himself. I guess he was helping a friend move, and now he's on crutches. It's not expected to be anything serious, but I think it brings up a larger question. Is this offseason and everything that's kind of happened with the coronavirus, does the fact that you haven't been able to have the players in the building heighten concerns from a general manager and a coaching perspective about your players' well-being?
Oh, Chris, 150%. You know, Coach Parcells always used to say that when you have the pros at one of these jobs, five bad unexpected things are going to happen every day. You know, someone's underpaid, someone doesn't like their title, someone gets hurt, and you just hold your breath. You know, I often used to say that, you know, I had two kids at home and 90 in the office, and you worry about each and every one of them. So I think we're going to see more of that. And candidly, I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if other things have happened that have just been underreported. And I think we're going to see a very significant acclimation period when we start returning. You know, just talking to people around the league, I think what a lot of people worry about is what's the level of conditioning. And we're going to get a lot of learnings here pretty soon from the NBA. I think the NBA is going to be really slow and smart in how they return to play, because the worst thing you want to do is go back and then lose a superstar like a LeBron James to a soft tissue injury.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You know, I mentioned last week after you're on with us, and it feels, and I don't want to speak for you, you're not a fan of Josh Allen at all, are you?
No, I mean, he's just not very good. I mean, let's just go by the facts. You know, he wasn't accurate at Wyoming, and he hasn't been accurate in thus far when you look at it carefully. He's a great kid. He's competitive. I spent time with him in the pre-draft process. But when it just comes to accuracy, I think it's going to be a fatal flaw. Now, maybe it'll get better, but when you study him and what we call like a heat chart in terms of completions and incompletions and where the ball, he sprays it. And Chris, you know this from being in defensive meeting rooms for years. What happens ultimately, Dave, is in pro football, when the opposing defensive coordinator knows what you do poorly, they're going to rip your heart out with it and make you beat them left-handed in terms of, and Coach Belichick used to say this all the time, like, if we're going to lose, we're going to make our opponent beat us left-handed, meaning whatever their weakness is, that's what they're going to have to do. And Josh Allen, if you go back to that playoff game, struggled getting the ball down the field, and that's why Houston was able to come back.
Now, year two for him, and I know you said it can get better. Like, you don't believe that 5 years down the road we could look and say, boy, it's a guy that just wasn't very accurate early on in his career, but it's really improved during the course of his career? Like 2 years in, and you're willing to kind of indict that as it can't get better or not much better?
Well, that's where it's a balancing act, you know, and there's that great axiom, guys, which is the tape sets the floor, character sets the ceiling. He is a great kid. It's really important to him. My point is, if you go over his body of work going back to a couple of years of playing at Wyoming, it's really the same thing, and it hasn't gotten better, and you're assuming that he's been working on his craft. And again, if we were playing the Buffalo Bills, we would make sure that he had to throw the ball outside the numbers, 20 yards down the field and to his left, and we would flood our zone coverage to the other side where he would be throwing into double and triple teams. So until he does that consistently, teams are going to make him prove that he can do that. Now, he can run. There's a lot of other things he can do, and maybe Stephon Diggs is going to help. But if you look at his body of work going back to Wyoming, that's been a problem for him.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us on the show. Mike, I think what Bill Parcells was alluding to, I believe they call that the stranger, but that's what I think they call it. So I thought you said, and you look terrific, by the way, on Get Up this morning. Handsome. I thought this was interesting. So they asked you the question. So I'm going to open up next year's draft to every quarterback currently in the NFL and that is draft eligible in college football. You have your choice of any quarterback, age obviously included. You'd clearly take Pat Mahomes one. Who would you take second?
Yeah, this is a great debate, guys. This is a lot of fun. It's Mahomes, you know, draw a huge line. And then I would go with Trevor Lawrence second. And the reason, guys, is he's 20 years old. He's lost one game in 2 years. He's thrown 66 touchdown passes. To me, he is clearly better than the last three first overall picks in Mayfield, Murray, and even Burrow. Because to me, Burrow, he was great this past year, obviously, but Urban Meyer knows what he's doing. He didn't play him at Ohio State, and he was good, but certainly not great his first year at LSU. And then, you know, Aaron Rodgers, because of age, look, Lamar Jackson would be in that conversation. Deshaun Watson would be in that conversation, but all the rest, you know, Russell Wilson because of his age, Wentz because of durability. I would have Lawrence as the number two quarterback drafted.
Mr. T, yesterday George Kittle had let it be known that he's not going to accept just top tight end money. He wants to be paid more like a wide receiver. Now, the top tight end so they're getting paid are Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry. They're at about $10.5 million a year. What do you see a player like George Kittle's value being on a long-term contract extension?
Yeah, Chris, this reminds me a little bit of when I dealt with Darrelle Revis at the Jets. First of all, these are great problems to have in terms of, you know, we just talked about Henry Ruggs hurting his leg. And Revis wanted to be paid as the highest-paid defense player, not the highest-paid corner. The one thing I would say about Kittle is when you look at his run blocking, he really does a great job of capturing the edge and that power run game that and the perimeter run game that San Francisco does so well. He's a big reason why. So I do understand where if Christian McCaffrey is making $16 million a year, I understand why he wants to be a lot closer to $16 million than just being on top of, you know, where Austin Hooper came in. So that's going to be a tough one. But, boy, you look at the 49ers, I think he's much more indispensable than people realize.
We had the conversation. We do a fun little segment where Rick throws out three players and we decide whether we kind of in order of how we rank them. He asked tight ends the other day, and Kittle and Kelsey were both there. I chose to make Kittle my number one. Chris made Kelsey his number one. If you needed a tight end, where would you go? Would you go Kittle or Kelsey?
I would go Kittle. It's close. That's really close. I just think Kittle's a little bit underrated in the run game. And studying Kyle Shanahan for so many years and how much he loves the run game for them really sets up the play action, the boots, the explosiveness. Really, it's all based on that outside run scheme that they've done such a great job going back to the Houston Texans, to the Washington Redskins. So I think Kittle gets the edge for me because he truly is a three-down tight end.
Mike, I know we spent all this time talking about, you know, these great offensive minds in football with Sean McVay and everyone else. And you mentioned Kyle Shanahan. Has he kind of put people on notice that he's one of the best offensive minds in the NFL currently?
Yeah, I think what we're going to see, in my opinion, Rick, is a little bit of a separation between the 49ers and, let's say, the Rams, not only for this year, but really for the next 3 to 5 years. I just think strategically the Rams have made some big mistakes, specifically giving up multiple first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey, not getting a deal done. They've let a lot of really good players go, Brandon Cooks, Todd Gurley. It's just hard for me to see how they're getting better. I think Kyle Shanahan's really, really good. And when you look at that team and the foundation, I think they're going to be clearly the team on top there for years to come.
Mr. T, we've been talking about sports organizations that have been coming out and making statements about the recent events, the protests, the riots, and the murder of George Floyd. And one of the local organizations, MSG Company, which housed the Rangers and the Knicks, decided that they weren't going to release an official statement. Now, you've been in the front office of organizations. You've had conversations in regards to releasing statements about taking a public stance this way or that way and whether or not the team should do that. What are some of the things that are talked about when those conversations happen?
Yeah, Chris, we have a responsibility and an absolute privilege working in and around sports, no matter where you are in the ecosystem, media, team, sponsors. And when you own and operate a team as iconic as the Knicks, you have an affirmative responsibility, in my opinion, to help make change, look at the tragedies of what just recently happened in our country and try to learn from it. And for all of us to improve and make sure these things never happen again. And what an unbelievable platform the Domo family has. And it's something that certainly doesn't make sense to me why he would not use that in the proper way. And I have been in those rooms. And those are the things you talked about, is these are, again, rare opportunities. There are privileges. And when these things come along, you want to set the right example for others to follow.
What we couldn't understand, and Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN, what we couldn't understand is the Knicks have been a team, you know, there's a lot of NFL teams, Mike, that have not hired the minority. The Knicks have gone the other way. They really have. They've almost been a pioneer in hiring the minority here. So don't you almost draw more attention to yourself as an organization by not releasing a statement than by having a memo leak out that we're not qualified to release a statement?
Yeah, I agree. And really, that's an opportunity right there to say, you know what, we need to learn, and we're going to be at the forefront of educating people, including ourselves, and take this as an opportunity to keep the narrative, the discussions going, so collectively we're in a much better place. Again, it was a great opportunity for the Dolan family, for the Knick organization, one in which it makes no sense to me why they wouldn't, like you said, look what they've done. They do have a good track record in this area where they could have moved the conversation forward in a very positive way.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, Dave's a bad guy. We all get it. Oh. I mean, he's lacks emotion. He wants people to pay when his team doesn't win. And the New York Giants haven't won. They've been flat out bad over the last couple of years. So he believes that Dave Gettleman is sitting on one of the hottest seats in the National Football League. In saying that, under these current circumstances, with how this offseason has played out, who knows what training camp will look like, how many preseason games there will be, do you think that that'll be something that ownership considers when ultimately making a decision whether or not to fire their GM or potentially their coach after the season?
I think it's all really about, and sometimes I think we get lost in this too, like, oh, they got to win X amount of games. I always think, to me, it's about trajectory and expectations. I'll give you guys a great example. Atlanta, for quite a while last year, everyone was like, well, Dan Quinn's on the hot seat. It doesn't look good. The end is near. They played really, really well down the stretch. They won, including a game against San Francisco in San Francisco. And I think that's really important. Like, if I'm John Mara, I think what I'm doing is I'm taking a long, sober, hard look and saying, how's this program going? What's the trajectory? And to Dave's credit, I think he's really attacked the offensive line, which we can all agree has been, you know, really, really poor. And one of the things I've learned, and my first year as a GM of the Jets, we had a big turnaround, went to the playoffs in year one because we attacked the offensive line and it became a force multiplier. So I'm not saying the Giants have to win 7 games or 9 games, but I think if we're sitting here around Halloween or Thanksgiving, guys, I think it'll be pretty clear, you know, where the Giants are, not only for this year, but more importantly, like where they're heading.
Mike T, and looking at the New York Jets across town, I mean, it feels like the Jets are a year ahead of where the New York Giants are, and based on how they finished last year, going 6-2 in the second half, what are your expectations for them this season?
Yeah, pretty similar. I think they have to show progress, and it's a full year with, you know, Coach Gase and Darnold. And again, if you want to give Adam the benefit of the doubt, you know, last year was bizarre when you consider the mono situation and what happened at the backup quarterback position and all the other injuries they had. So, look, they did a great job. I think getting Flacco was really important because you can go back to last year, Trevor Siemian gets hurt, fails. You know, things just didn't work out once Darnold got sick. So I think Flacco kind of calms that down. But I think at the end of the day, Chris, similar to the Giants, like we'll know in the first 4 to 6 weeks, you know, where are the Jets? I think what's really interesting about the AFC East is who's the best quarterback today in that division? I think that's a really interesting discussion.
It's not interesting. Stop. It's not interesting. Stop. It's not. It's Sam Darnold. I mean, come on. Quit it.
If you had to win one game, I mean, based on everything that we saw last year, wouldn't it be Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean, if we just look at it in a very sober way,
I already lived that movie.
We lived that movie.
I lived that movie. If you had to win one game, and I've already lived that movie. It didn't turn out well for us. That was week 17 in Buffalo. Yeah, game we had to win. Didn't work out. I'm deducting just because you said that. I'm deducting one chai latte from from our agreement.
Oh my goodness!
All right. Is that with or without soy milk?
No, this is actually I'm going to add
regular
one,
milk.
But with regular whole milk.
Regular
just so you
whole
pay the price.
Milk, fully fatted milk. You're going to get next time.
All right, that's catastrophic. I mean, that's really raising the bar.
Now, Rick claims he's done, Mike. We'll see if, in fact, that is true. But the last one for me, because we kind of had the quarterback conversation with you before. Of these five, and I know one of the five you're not going to choose, which one would you take? Burrow, Daniel Jones, Josh Allen, who you won't, Darnold, or Kyler Murray? Give me the top two that you would take.
Ooh. You know, I'd probably say Burrow and Murray. Look, Burrow, really, like, based on what he did this past year, there's so much, like, one of the transactions we're not talking enough about is, why did Cincinnati cut Andy Dalton? Like, that to me is really interesting, considering the fact that we've had, again, no off-season program. I mean, all their eggs are in Joe Burrow's basket from day one, and Zach Taylor obviously doesn't have a huge benefit of the doubt. And then Kyler Murray, you know, if they could cut down on his sacks, you know, he got sacked more than any other quarterback last year. I think they have a chance to be markedly improved. And you look at their weapons with DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald, I think they're going to be very explosive on offense. So those would be the two for me.
All right, Rick, you said you're done. That's true? You're actually done here?
No, you forced me to ask another question.
I don't want it to be uncomfortable. I knew it. I got a text. Let me let everyone in behind the scenes a little bit. Mike, I got a text from him. I'm done. I got nothing else. But I know him so well that when I asked that thought-provoking question, he couldn't be done. Go ahead.
Well, you stimulated my brain.
I know.
No, you're asking good quarterback questions. So speaking of quarterbacks, I know it's a tough division. I get it, and Lamar Jackson is in the division. What are your expectations for Ben Roethlisberger this season?
I think this is a do-or-die year for him. And again, I've said this on record more than once. If I'm Pittsburgh, I'm doing everything I can within reason to sign Cam Newton and let – Ben graduate after this year, and you may have his successor without giving up a pick. We'll see how much he has left. I'm not a fan of when guys get hurt over multiple years. I know it was the elbow a year ago, but he has missed a number of games over the last several years. And if we were drafting quarterbacks in that division, I think that's also interesting. You know, Lamar is the reigning MVP. Presumably he's won on most lists, but if you had to go win one game after that, you know, is it Burrow, Mayfield or Ben. And I think that's why that division is going to look a little bit different than people realize, because I think Cleveland's gotten better, but I'm not so sure if Mayfield, if Roethlisberger comes back, Mayfield may be the fourth best quarterback in the AFC North this year.
Mr. Wow. T, since we're talking about quarterbacks, I got to get your take on this. A lot of people are focused on the Pat Mahomes contract negotiations, which started last week, but Deshaun Watson is also eligible for a contract extension down in Houston. If you're Bill O'Brien, are you racing to try to get that deal done before Pat Mahomes' deal gets done?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about this before, Chris. I don't know. Like, I think Dallas has been really screwed this up royally, but you know, when you look at, I think Mahomes, when it's all said and done, deservedly so, will be north of 40. I mean, is that number 45 a year? But between Watson and Prescott, the longer you wait, it's just going to get more expensive, because whoever goes first, the other one's going to leapfrog the other. So I think that's the right verb. I would be racing to get that deal done ASAP, knowing that the market's just going to continue to go up for those quarterbacks. And I do think Mahomes will wind up on top, but those other two will certainly play off one another.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll do it again next week. And, you know, we appreciate your kindness and your time for the show. So good stuff, Mike, as always.
Dave, can we just add, you know, stay safe, stay healthy, and, you know, in the spirit of Rick, can you add stay hydrated, please?
Yes. Hydration, incredibly important. Let me redo that. Mike, stay safe, stay healthy, stay hydrated. We'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.
All right. One Mike Tenenbaum. Good stuff.
Hey, Dave, let me ask you a quick question before we go to break.
You loved my questioning. I could tell you did.
No, I was actually, because you asked the question that you asked, I almost brought him in on CMT. I was going to ask him one of my CMT questions, but I'm going to save it. Maybe we actually do that next time. Maybe we do CMT when he's on and bring him into
the mix of CMT.
That might be too much stimulation, Rico.
There's no such thing as too much stimulation.
We could make it like celebrity CMT. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
A different, but it doesn't need to be just him. We could reach out to whoever and have them play CMT with us.
Feinbaum playing CMT would be amazing.
Right?
Yeah, I think Feinbaum would be doing a lot of trashing, I believe. I think he would just
trash
all three heat trash. Okay, so quick question before we go to break. I want you to think about it. Don't give me a yes or a no.
Okay.
So he mentioned Pat Mahomes could be somewhere, you know, 45. Now, cap will go up, but that's a lot of money when you're in a salary cap sport.
Yes.
Would you at any point think of offering him like a 10-year, $325 million guaranteed contract?
I feel like all you've asked us this many guaranteed times.
Yeah, but I changed the number.
So it's 10 for 325, 100% guaranteed.
Would you offer it if you were the team, and do you think Pat Mahomes would accept it?
I don't think he'd accept it.
No.
And I would offer it. Chris? I'm not supposed to answer. See, I totally messed up. I got so brought in by the question. Maybe that's not my answer. We'll find out my proper answer and Chris's full answer next when we play CMT. Their everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. All right, revisit your question that I so quickly and irrationally answered moments ago.
You want me to re-ask the question?
Re-ask the question, yeah, for the new listeners.
Okay, well, it's a salary cap sport. The NFL is a salary cap sport. And Chris asked Mike Tenenbaum, you know, about Patrick Mahomes' his contract and Deshaun Watson's contract. And he said Pat Mahomes could get somewhere close to $45 million a year, which is a ton of money. I asked the question.
Every time you say it, every single time, Chris has the same reaction. Ooh.
That's a lot of money, man. Yeah.
I love it.
So here's the question. If you're Kansas City, knowing that, you know, 45 a year is maybe too much, would you offer him a 10-year, $325 million deal to keep his number at 32.5? And if you're Pat Mahomes, would you accept that? Fully guaranteed.
So quickly answered the question, and I thought about it, and I have this exact same answer. If I'm Kansas City, I would offer it immediately, and if I'm Pat Mahomes, I have to bet on myself, and I would probably decline it.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, Dave. If you're Pat Mahomes, I wouldn't accept that, just because who knows what's going to happen to the salary caps once the NFL renegotiates the media rights deals. I mean, it could potentially explode, similar to what we saw the NBA do earlier this decade. So If I'm Pat Mahomes, I'm not accepting that deal. Now, if I'm Kansas City, I don't know if I necessarily go the route of offering it and trying to lock in that call, certainly just because of the nature of the sport. I mean, football is not like basketball or baseball. I mean, you could talk about a guy, you know, walking on the field that doesn't walk off the field and never plays another down again. So I know that the odds are relatively low that that would happen, especially at the quarterback spot. But that at least has to be a concern when you start talking about guaranteeing $300-$350 million.
So much money.
It's a lot of cash.
So much
money. I think if it was Pat Mahomes, I would have to accept that.
Really?
I don't think I could take the risk. I mean, coming off the dislocated kneecap.
For argument's sake, he plays the next 5 years, and he signs a deal soon. 5 years for what? For 220?
Well, it's going to be 5 years. We'll say 40 a year.
Okay, so 200?
Yeah, 200.
Okay.
Now, I mean, that's a ton of money.
So how old is he now? 24? Maybe 25?
He's a baby.
So if he gets through those 5 years at $200 million, you don't think his next deal is for another $250, $300 million?
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's another $200, that's $400. But, I mean, so you're risking now for the next 10 years or 8, would you say 8 years, next to 4-year deals, did you say? You said 5-year deals.
5-year deal, $200.
So now you're risking for the next 10 years, betting on yourself, in making $400 million when with one stroke of the pen – you can guarantee for the next 10 making 325. So for the security, you're paying $75 million.
But here's the thing. The next deal won't be 200. If this deal's 200.
The next deal is going to be more than that. It's going to be 250, 300.
It could be 3. It could be 350.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Dave.
So listen, it's a win-win. And athletes typically, and you guys know this, bet on themselves. I would think that he would turn it down.
Yeah, if I was a player, I would absolutely bet on myself. And you're probably right. I would turn it down too, Dave.
You take it, Rick?
320, yes.
He didn't even hesitate.
No hesitation.
I mean, it's almost
the same. Those are good, beautiful problems.
It's way less money, but that was the reason why I signed a 15-year deal, was to keep the cost down so we could get more people around me, and then also just be locked in same team for the rest of my career. And not
but were you
money.
You as worried about risk of injury, though?
At that point, no.
Yeah, that's what I don't know that factors into the psyche of the professional athlete. Now, that should absolutely be a part of the conversation with his agent, but I don't know that Pat Mahomes is thinking like that, me suffering an injury where I'll never be able to play again.
I don't know. He's pretty damn close. I mean, his kneecap slides, I mean, what, a centimeter one way or the other? I mean, who knows how that dislocated kneecap turns out?
I think
it's interesting because, Eli Manning didn't miss a game. Played for, what, 16 years?
Yeah.
And he made $252 million. So you're talking about a guy who's played two full seasons, been in the league 3 years, all of a sudden now locking himself in to be, you know, being the highest paid quarterback in the league, the highest paid player in the history of the NFL by, what, low end, $75 million?
Yeah, but the money is going to be so much bigger. Once they get to the new television contracts, it's going to be huge, man. Talking about the cap sitting around $200 million right now, I don't even want to take a shot at guessing what it's going to be, but it's going to be exponentially higher. It's going to be a lot of money coming into the NFL.
Yeah, he's just. I guess he's just so good at what he does. He'll be the exception.
And you guys correct me. Do you think, and maybe you did, Rick, I don't know, do you realistically, when you're a professional athlete, think when I get hurt or if I get hurt, is that realistically something that goes through your mind?
No, you don't think about that until all of a sudden you have a deal sitting in front of you for 10 years and $350 million. Then all of a sudden you're like, wow, now I don't have to worry about anything. So now if I do get hurt, God forbid.
So he's 24 years old.
You could go 325, you could go 350 for the next 10 years and now all of a sudden come up when you're 34 for another deal.
And still get another $200 million.
I mean, at that rate, yeah. I mean, quarterbacks playing into their 40s.
I mean, you have to imagine that there's a real chance if this guy's healthy that he winds up making north of $500 million in his NFL career.
I could see that. I could absolutely see that.
Oh my God.
And just NFL contracts. I'm not even talking about endorsements. Just NFL contracts.
Sure.
Yeah.
NFL contract of 550.
The Kansas City Chiefs are going to have to be awfully creative in terms of how they structure this deal, though. So I get where Rick is coming from, being able to throw out these outside-of-the-box proposals, unconventional contract structures, because that's what it's going to take in order to lock him in, but to also be able to put the requisite talent around him to take advantage of what he brings to the table. Because they still got to get the Chris Jones contract done, too.
Yep.
I mean, that's that. I mean, you're talking about an all-pro defensive lineman in a team that, you know, up until the end of last year struggled on that side of the ball. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. What wasn't it Peyton Manning that said it's his job to make as much money as he possibly can, and it's the team's job to be able to put the talent around him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's hard to put the talent around when one guy's making the bulk of the money, though.
Yeah, it makes the GM's job a little bit harder, but how hard is your job as a GM if you don't have that guy as a quarterback?
No, him not being there is not an option.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You just have to figure out a way around how much he's going to make and what you do alternatively. All right, Rick, are you ready?
I am ready, my man. Let's do it.
All right, Santy, let's go. We got a little music. There we go.
I do like this new music.
Yeah,
all right, here we go.
Happy.
So yesterday we did skill positions in the NFL. We went with guys that have kind of already established themselves. Today we're going to go with guys that are newer to the league. Newer to the league guys. Think rookie, second year, guys like that. So I'm going to give you quarterbacks first. I'm going to give you Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, and I had a hard time with this one. I was going to go Haskins, but we didn't see a ton from Haskins. I'm going to give you Gardner Minshew as the third on the list.
All right.
And I like his mustache.
Chris, I think we're going to – I'm fairly confident we're both going to trash Minshew.
Yes. You know the order, Dave, so go ahead and put it out there, man. I'm drinking the blue Kool-Aid right there with you. Dave, I'm drinking the blue Kool-Aid with you.
Good, good. But I think Rick, you'll agree. I had a beautiful pause. I said we both will trash Minshew, and I heard nothing.
Oh, see, that's on Sandy. Yeah, Sandy,
right?
you missed the trash.
You missed it multiple times.
This garbage! Look at this garbage!
No. All right, we both will trash Minshew. We'll cuddle right into Drew Lock.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I mean, I like what he is. I haven't seen enough. The one that I feel most confident in, and Chris, I think you completely concur, is Daniel Jones. I think they've upgraded around him. Year two, he's got to be better. The offensive line is clearly better. And I didn't feel this way a year ago from right now, but confidently, I will marry Daniel Jones.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, the only questions that I had about Daniel Jones was whether or not his talent would allow him to be productive in the NFL. It wasn't about the character of the player. I mean, he went to my high school. He was coached by David Cutcliffe down at Duke, one of the foremost experts in teaching the quarterback position in the country. So, yeah, I wasn't worried about his sports character. I wasn't worried about the mental aspect of it. I was just worried about the physical talent and would that allow him to compete. And he answered that question with an emphatic yes in his rookie year. So, yeah, I'm absolutely marrying Daniel Jones. I think he's going to be the Giants guy for the next dozen plus years.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
See, that was tough for me because I said if I put Haskins in, you're still trash Haskins, and if I throw Kyler Murray in the mix, you're probably going to end up marrying Kyler Murray. So it was just it was a no-win proposition for me.
Well, I think I took a chance to mention you.
All right, I'm going to give you a second-year wide receivers: Deebo Samuel, AJ Brown, or Terry McLaurin.
So Samuel, AJ Brown. Now this is more difficult, I think.
Yes.
You want honors here, Chris?
Yeah, I can give you the honors. I know I'm probably showing a little bit of recency bias, but I am going to marry Deebo Samuel.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I love what he brings to the table, his physical toughness, his ability to run block. You know, he does a lot of things in the passing game. You know, he has the ability to catch the shorter routes and be able to get yards after the catch. I think he does have the ability to track the ball on deeper passes, deeper routes. There's a lot to like when you look at the player and just the physical toughness that he plays the wide receiver position with. That's what makes me fall in love with him and want to marry him. I will cuddle up to AJ Brown. I wasn't quite sure how he would do once he got into the next level because he's not a burner, but just seeing how the Tennessee Titans use him in their play action passing attack. I mean, he went over 1,000 yards as a receiver in his rookie year. That's impressive to me. So, yeah, I'm going to cuddle right up to A.J. Brown and...
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
You guys know where I'm going with the trash. I don't want to say it because he's a good young player, but I'm going to trash him.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
I think there's something better about the show when there's disagreement and hostility over it, but that won't be the case here. Debo Samuel was terrific last season. Got better as the year went on. Played his best football in the biggest games and was clearly their best wide receiver in the Super Bowl. So I will marry right into Debo Samuel.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
And I concur. I mean, A.J. Brown was sensational last year. There was a real connection with he and Ryan Tannehill, and they got better as the year went along, and he's a home run threat, and I feel very confident about cuddling up with him.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And then I'm not going to pull punches. What is it, McLaurin? Is that how you say his name?
Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin.
Scary Terry.
Yeah. He's good. He played well. He was a find out of Ohio State. But for me, it's a no-brainer. I'll trash Terry.
Firmly. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, let's try to create some dissension here. I'm going to give you some running backs. These are rookie running backs. I've not played a snap. You're going strictly on what you saw in college and situation. Okay? I'm going to give you Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm going to give you Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers.
All right, give me those three again. So Edwards-Helaire.
Mm-hmm. Edwards-Helaire, yeah. Taylor, and Cam Akers.
Taylor on Indianapolis.
Yep. Yes.
And Akers.
Rams.
Yeah. Okay. Chris, you want to start?
Yeah, I can start. I'm going to marry Clyde Edwards-Helaire. When Andy Reid threw out comparisons about Brian Westbrook in that offense, I mean, that was enough to be able to make me fall in love. You're talking about a guy that could be 1,000 and 1,000 based on how they're going to utilize him in the passing attack. So, yeah, I'm going to marry Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I just love him being a part of that offense with the creative minds of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. So I don't know how you could not want to marry that.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
For the cuddle part of things, I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor. I know there's a lot of tread on the tires, and I know he has a problem holding on to the football, but there's something about the 1-2 punch that he and Marlon Mack could represent there in Indy with Phillip Rivers as their quarterback. I just feel like it lends itself to him being able to have a really explosive rookie year. Kind of like what we saw with Alvin Kamara when he had Mark Ingram. I mean, not the exact same way, but just in terms of being a complementary piece in a 1-2 punch in the backfield. I could absolutely see that with Jonathan Taylor, so I'm going to cuddle right up to him. And then I am going to trash Cam Akers.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, I'm ready to tag in here. And again, you know, there's not a lot of animosity, not a lot of disagreement. Edwards-Helaire, first of all, he's terrific. He was a top running back taken, and he goes to the best offense. So I'll marry him.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I feel like Santiago's at the top of his game today. Taylor, I will cuddle Taylor from the Colts.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Much better. Their offensive line is excellent, and we saw what kind of productivity he had at the collegiate level. And Akers, listen, I like the situation. They're an explosive offense. They've had that potential, but their offensive line is heading in the wrong direction, and I think there's a lot of unknown with the Rams. So for me, it's clear that Akers says bye-bye.
Firmly. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, last one here. I'm going to give you some tight ends. I'm going to give you Noah Fant, Darren Waller, or Mark Andrews.
Fant?
Ooh.
Waller? Andrews. I'll start here.
Okay.
Waller was great. He was sensational last season. Their wide receiving core should be better. So I will marry away and sail away with Darren Waller.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Look at, and again, this is, you know, we do the best we can to project, but Fant got better as the year went on last season. They had, you know, multiple receivers. The quarterback should be better as well, so I'll cuddle into Noah Fant.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And then again, this is not that I want to trash Andrews, but I feel like it's kind of the lesser of all evils, so I will go ahead and trash him. And for the record, I don't feel all that comfortable doing it.
Wow, so disrespectful, Dave. Trashing Mark Andrews?
I don't know what else to do.
Okay. All
right. At least cuddle him. I mean, that'd be nice.
I can't trash a guy that had 10 touchdown catches a year ago. I can't do it.
Don't do it. I'm not saying it's right.
I can't
do it. It's my opinion.
I gotcha. I guess the irony of Darren Waller, he was drafted by the Ravens as a wide receiver, and seeing how that organization values tight ends as much as they do, it's surprising that they let him out of there. But I'm going to cuddle up to Darren Waller. I like the breakout year that he had last season. He's shown that he can be a matchup nightmare with his size and catch radius. I think he does a lot of good things in the passing game. I'm going to marry Mark Andrews.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Jeff said it. Double-digit touchdown catches last year, but not only what he does in the passing game, but what he does in the run game. I think he's a top five tight end in the NFL. I mean, certainly the Ravens think highly of him. They were able to trade a former first-round draft pick in Hayden Hurst because they felt good about what Mark Andrews brings to the table. And I am going to trash Noah Font, who I believe was a top 10 pick. I'm going to trash him, although I do think he's got a hell of a lot of potential that he hadn't tapped into yet.
Look at this garbage!
I'm surprised the kid from Detroit didn't make the list. Hawkinson, is that his name?
TJ Hawkinson?
Yeah, I thought he would have made the...
There's only three names. I can only put three names.
I understand.
There you have it, boys. That is nice. Today's CMT.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It was very well done. It's important to remember we pulled together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Rick, you have any idea how many businesses we've promoted since this whole pandemic has started? It's a big number.
I couldn't even fathom a guess.
Over 350.
Then that's probably still not enough.
No, and we're here for you. So if you have something you want to promote, you need to promote, we're here. 987ESPN@gmail.com.
It's so important. I mean, it really is to support your local businesses. You know how much they're struggling right now.
Absolutely. I mean, anything you can do. If you have the means to do it, right? I mean, we implore that you go do it. It's so important.
I got to go grocery shopping today.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if mentally I'm ready. Do I qualify now? Would you look down upon me if I took my own motorized cart with the? I got the broken toe.
Wait, yes. You can't.
It's my own cart, though. It's my own scooter
through the store. No, because those are big, and then you're going to have people diving into the peas. No, you can't do it.
But then, I mean, then what if I put like the floating like the noodles? Then so I socially distance. Like, you'll put the noodles.
Are you unable to walk?
I'm trying to go through this fast. I got a bit of a gimp. I'm a bit of a limp. Yeah.
And you think it'll be faster if you go in a motorized cart?
This is just not a regular motorized cart. This is souped up.
It doesn't sound like it would end well for me, Chris.
Yeah, I think you're cruising for a bruising, literally and figuratively, if you decide to take a motorized cart into the grocery store.
But it's got flames on it. It's got my initials. Like
Rico, let me ask you a question. Which takes you longer, the actual grocery shopping or taking on your hazmat suit?
Well, hazmat suit plus having to wipe all the groceries down takes way longer.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I got to shout. Yeah, so the process is, I'll get there. I'll probably get to the grocery store, I would say, after the show. I would say probably somewhere around like 1:30.
Okay.
All in, I'm looking at like
all four, totally done with everything by?
Just before 5 o'clock, I would say.
Oh my God, it's a family project.
DiPietro, Catty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.